You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians 1. You know, I thought it would be appropriate, apropos, I guess you'd say, talk about freedom. Here we are talking about the 4th of July. I'm not going to get into that so much as I am our freedom in Christ. You know, what we celebrate today is a separation and an independence from a foreign power. Great Britain at the time, King George had heavily oppressed the people of the United States of America. And, of course, you know your history, should know your history, heavy taxation, try to take everybody's guns away and make everybody subservient to them. And taxation without representation, all those things that you study when you study American history. And we formed our own nation and came out with the Declaration of Independence. You know, that's what we call this, Independence Day, 4th of July. But actually, as a Christian, we were freed. We were freed from an oppressive government, an oppressive kingdom, the devil's kingdom. We were freed from sin. We were free from the law of sin and death. But we didn't become independent. We actually became dependent on God. So it's a little different when we talk about our freedom in Christ. It really has to do with not our independence, but our dependence on God. We are independent, separated from sin. And we now have our independence and separation from the power of the devil, no question. But we are now dependent on God, which is a good thing. Yeah. Amen? That's a great thing. We didn't just trade one kingdom for another, although we went out of one kingdom into another. But we came out of bondage into freedom. And our service to God now is not a bondage service. It's a choice service. It's submission. You know, if I submit to God, that's my choice. If he enslaves me, then that's his choice. God didn't enslave us and make us Christians. We submitted to him and became Christians. We chose to serve him. That's what submission is. Sub is a Latin word. Sub under, mission is the cause or the mission. So we serve under the mission of Christ, and that was your choice and my choice. That's not servitude and slavery. That's not a dictatorship where he conquered us. God didn't conquer us. He conquered hell, death, and the grave, which had oppressed us. God set us free to choose. Are you with me? And we can stay in the sin if we wanted to, or we could choose to serve him, but it would be our free will that did that. And so now we serve him by choice. That's why it means so much to God when you love him, when you pray, when you serve him, when you call on him, because you don't have to. God didn't make you do that. Are you with me? You had a choice to do that. And so submission is not a bad word. Submission is a good word. When I choose to submit, that I choose. I choose to submit to God. I choose to serve under that mission. Woo! That's better preaching. Y'all are amen. But I didn't become independent, so we think about freedom. I'm not just, I am free to do whatever I want to, but I'm free now to serve God. I'm free to choose God. I'm free to go for God and get in his kingdom, and it's my choice to do so. And it was Jesus in his death, his burial, resurrection that made that possible, that procured that right for me, that earned that right for me, that fought, died, and rose again and conquered hell, death, and the grave. Hallelujah, that I might be free. Amen. And might be a Christian and might serve God today. We don't serve a Jesus in the manger. You know, we often think about that at Christmas time. There's a little baby in a manger. And I celebrate Christmas. I'm not saying anything against Christmas. Thank God for Christmas. But we're not serving a baby in a manger. And we don't serve just a sinless man. You know, he's such a great teacher. A lot of people talk about Jesus being a great teacher. You know, well, he was, no question. But he's more than that. We're not just serving the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount and the great moral code of golden rule. And you know, he was just a good man. We don't serve just a good, holy man, a sinless man, although he was all that. He was holy. He was no doubt about it. Great teacher, no doubt about it. Born in a manger, no question. That all took place. But that's not who we're serving. We're serving not someone who just died even. Well, a lot of people have died for causes and died for families and died for countries and so on and so forth. But see, something different about Jesus, he didn't just die. He came back out of the grave. So he conquered death. And whom we serve right now, who is seated at the right hand of God right now, it's not a babe in a manger, not just a sinless man, not just a good teacher, not just someone who died. We're serving someone who conquered hell, death, and the grave. We're serving a warrior, as it were, a conqueror of all that was against us. We're serving a great and a powerful, mighty God. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. That means something. So when we talk about Jesus, we're not talking about a wimp. We're talking about a warrior. And that's why we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He conquered, and we get to enjoy the spoils, as it were. He did the work. He beat the devil at his own game. We don't have to beat the devil. He's already beaten. Woo! Are you out there? And Jesus did it. Praise God. And we honor him today, for sure. We honor him every day. But we're talking about, you know, our freedom in this country. We ought to think about our freedom in Christ, our freedom to serve God now, our freedom to do what's right now. Sin doesn't conquer us now. Sin doesn't dominate us now. We can overcome sin. We don't have to serve it. That's what the scripture says. You don't have to lie. You don't have to keep lying. So, y'all quit lying. You don't have to be angry all the time, bitter all the time, you know, and, well, there's nothing I can do. It's just the way I am. It's just that Irish blood, or, you know, it's, everybody wants to blame something, you know. Got up on the wrong side of bed this morning, or, you know, it's a blue Monday. You know, what? Put your bed up, find a bad side of your bed and put it up against the wall. But we got to quit making excuses, amen, and start walking in our freedom. Jesus has set us free. Now, we're walking like we're not free, and yet we are free, amen, and we have freedom in Christ. Colossians, y'all found it? Colossians, the first chapter in the 13th, well, back up to the, oh, wow, where would you even start with this one? We'll just, 11th verse, we'll just start there. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. I love that. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Isn't that great? Everybody say joyfulness. Joyfulness. See, we ought to be joyful in serving God. We ought to be, I mean, happy, 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 as, you know, as Phil says, Phil Robertson says. But we ought to be happy serving God because we're strengthened. We're strengthened with the might of God. We're according to his glorious power. When I run out, he's got power. When I lack, he takes up the slack. I mean, he's got what I don't have. On any given day, when I'm just about to give up, he has got more power. He can keep me going. He can get me back on my feet again. He can get me through this. When I feel like a shell of a man, when I don't have another ounce of strength in me to do another thing, God can help me. I can call on him. I'm never without help. I'm never without hope. Hallelujah. That's where joyfulness comes from. Knowing I can make it and get through this and overcome this and better days are ahead. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father. Boy, that ought, we ought to live a life of thankfulness. God, you got something to thank God for every day. Thank God you're saved. Thank God for life. Thank God for strength. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or proper or prepared or equipped to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and light. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I'm not even preaching on that, but that's so good. God has made me able to partake of this inheritance that is in the saints in light. So I'm able to partake of the promises. He made me able to get my prayers answered. He made me able to serve him. He made me able to experience him and experience his promises. It's one thing to read those promises. It's another thing to attain them or to walk in them. And often we feel intimidated or inferior, or we just don't measure up or whatever the case may be. But God has made us able to partake of the promises. Well, I just wish I could, I wish I had that kind of faith. Well, you do. You do. We all have the measure of faith. He's dealt every man to measure of faith. We all have the same faith Peter had. Faith, the spirit of faith, just hearing the word, believing it, and confessing it. That's faith. Are you out there? Well, I don't know. I'm just not a Billy Graham. Well, you don't have to be a Billy Graham. Just be you. God made you able to partake of the promises. He made you able to walk in the inheritance. You can walk in joy. You can walk in love. You can. You can and I can. And he made me able. He set me free and put me in a spot, in a place where I can walk in God and I can love. Hello. I can forgive. I can't forgive. Yes, you can. You can do whatever God says you can do. That's right. And you're never going to win an argument arguing with God. If God says you can, you can. Y'all sound real excited out here. God says you can do it, you can do it. And you can, hallelujah. And here we ought to be thanking God that he has made us able to partake. I am able to partake of what? The inheritance. Hallelujah. There's a great inheritance here. I don't know if you ever read the will, but this is it. This is the will. You ought to go read it. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Brother Osteen used to always tell that story about cheese and crackers. Y'all remember that story about cheese and crackers? It was his cheese and cracker story. Yeah. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad, who was our pastor for years, he said this guy got this cruise years ago, got on this ship, and it was, you know, years ago, it'd take you about, I don't know, a week or longer to get from across the Atlantic, you know, from across the pond from Great Britain over here or Europe or wherever you're coming from. Used to take at least a week to go over. In fact, I remember my dad was in the military for 20 years, and I was raised up in the military to some degree. I was somewhat a military brat. You could put any name in front of brat. I was a brat, just whatever. But I turned 5 on the ship home. We lived in Germany when I was real, real young, 2, 3, and 4, and I turned 5 in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean coming across from Germany. We lived in K-Town, Kaiserslautern. Y'all know where that is. Yeah, been there, yeah. But anyway, we came across the ocean. I turned 5. I got to wear a captain's hat, and it's just really neat. In fact, they were showing Bambi, I think, on the theater on the first came out. But anyway. No, I'd probably been out a long time. But I digress. There was this guy on this cruise or ship coming from Europe over to the United States, and he'd had enough money for his ticket, and so he had this big sack of cheese and crackers. And so when it got time to eat, he'd get out on the deck, and he would just go through his cheese and, you know, eat his cheese and eat his crackers. And days went by and days went by. And the day they're coming into port, you know, Statue of Liberty fixing to come in there in New York, that area. And he was out on the deck, and some guy comes out of the inside of the ship, walks out on the deck, says, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm just out here eating my cheese and crackers." And he said, "Well, what are you doing eating cheese and crackers?" And he says, "Well," he said, "that's what I brought. I only had enough money to pay for the ticket." And he said, "I brought all this food here, you know, with me, cheese and crackers, all I could afford. That's what I've been eating on for a week now." And he says, "Well, man, you knucklehead." He says, the ticket included all the meals. Hello. Well, now that's kind of like us. We have this great inheritance, and we're eating cheese and crackers. And included in the inheritance is a lot of other stuff we're not taking advantage of because we don't know. We hadn't read the will like that guy didn't know what was in the ticket. We hadn't looked and see what God said was available, what he made available, what he provided for us, because we don't know that because of our ignorance. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. And we're putting up with stuff we ought to be overcoming. Hello? We're enduring and suffering things that we have the power over. We're letting sin dominate us when we should be dominating it. That's right. Woo!
Yeah, come on. That's good.
Oh my, come on now. You ought to read your will. Quit eating cheese and crackers. Yeah, but that's not even what I'm teaching on. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet or proper, able or prepared or ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now listen to this verse right here. Who hath delivered us. Everybody say delivered. I know people says every time they see liver, they want to be delivered. But anyway, y'all are slow this morning. I'm waiting for y'all to catch up, okay? Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness. We see we've been delivered from something. And what are we doing being in bondage to something that we've been delivered from? What are we doing letting something or someone overrule us and we have rule over them? And yet that's what we're doing when we sin. You know, when you sin, you're just giving in to something you have power over. You have power. Anger. When you let anger dominate you and unforgiveness and bitterness dominate you and then we just go on with sickness and disease. Let's just take that one for instance. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." So you don't think you ought to be healed? No. Well, do you go to the doctor? Yeah. Well, why? Why would you go to the doctor? Well, if God, God's just trying to teach me something. Well, why are you paying money trying to get yourself out of God's will? Hello? I mean, we know more than everybody's against sickness. Come on. Yeah. Whether you believe in healing or not, you're against sickness. Yeah. Everybody's against it. We've got the biggest buildings in the world. We put billions upon billions of dollars into that industry of trying to relieve suffering, sign, dying humanity. Whether you believe in God or not, you're against sickness. Yeah. Yeah. Sickness is bad. Yeah. No, really, I've been healed and I've been sick. Heal's better. Yeah. How about you? We don't even say when someone's doing, when someone's sick, we say they're doing bad. They're not well. They're not okay. When someone's healed or feeling good, they say, man, I'm doing fine. I'm okay. Wonderful, dandy, lovely. You know, all the terms we use about sickness are always negative and bad. And all the terms about doing being healed are well and okay. And on, you know, so God's against it too. He's against sickness. Well, to be praying and believing God for healing. Praying for the doctors, praying for the medicine, praying. Let's we're on the same team here. If you believe in healing, you're for doctors. You're not against them because they're trying to get the same result. It's just that we got a supernatural source here, amen? And if you're under medication, well, take it and believe God for it to work. Believe God it works so much you have to quit taking it. Are you with me? I'm not of the persuasion to get healed that your eyes healed, you got to throw your glasses away. I'm over the persuasion is that when the healing manifests, you can't see through your glasses, then you throw them away. Yes. Does that make sense? Because nowhere in the Bible does it say, by his stripes you were healed, if you throw your glasses away. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, if they throw their glasses away. Are you with me? Yeah. Well, just take it where you are and believe God, and then, you know, as your eyes improve, and as you get better, your medicine actually will start making you sick. Are you out there? Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Oh. Okay, so he has delivered us from the power of darkness and everything that entails, all that the devil does. And see, there again, we don't know our enemy. And so many times we're attributing to God things that really the devil's doing. A lot of the church does that. When something bad happens, they'll say God did it for a purpose, or insurance policies will call storms and hurricanes acts of God. That's acts really of a fallen world. And not even necessarily the devil per se. Sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes just the world that we live in. Our world is broken. It's fallen. It's been broken and fallen since Adam sinned. It's all in the Bible. It's all in there, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It gives you the whole count. When Adam sinned, death came into the world. And destruction and storms and all those things started. In the new heaven and new earth, there'll be no more of that. And in heaven right now, there is no more of that. In fact, there's no funeral home in heaven. And there's no hospital in heaven. People don't get sick there and they don't die there. Are you with me? There's no storm shelters up there because there are no storms there. And we get a new earth and a new heaven down here. Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 22, it talks about a new heaven, new earth. You'll find there's nothing destructive there. There's nothing that destroys. Why? Because there is no sin there. Yeah. Are you with me? And there's coming a day we're going to be in that place. Woo, hallelujah. But while we're here, we can tip the scales in our favor through prayer. And through confession of God's word, we're not going to eliminate everything. You're going to die. Your body's going to get older. The outward man does perish, the Bible says, but the inward man's renewed day by day. There's one enemy that has not been put underfoot, and that is physical death. It is an enemy. It's not a good. It's not God taking you home. It's sin killing your body, and it's killing everybody's body. Are you with me? That one thing is still holding on, and you and I are going to die. We're going to get older, and we're going to die if Jesus tarries. But one day, we'll never die again. Because one day, that enemy itself will be put underfoot. Hallelujah. So when you hear at funerals, you know, God took my love. God didn't take your love. When God received them, he didn't take them. He received them because he's love. But death took the body. And one day, life will take it back. Oh, come on now. One day, the trumpet will sound. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then Jesus will come back and he will shout out with the voice of an archangel. He'll shout out. Every grave will be opened. The grave of everyone that knows the Lord, everyone that's been saved, everyone that's up in heaven. And those bodies will come out of those graves and will be changed and we'll get a resurrection model. Hallelujah. I mean, put Avon out of business, don't need makeup. But we need it now, ladies. Keep putting it on. But one day we're going to get a new body. Hallelujah. And it's all going to be different. It's all going to be changed. See, because this world will be changed. We'll be changed and the world will be changed. It's just awesome. But see, there's something wrong with the world right now. There's something wrong with the world right now. And it's sin. Not necessarily your sin. I mean, all of us together probably make a bunch of sin, but it's because of what Adam did, his sin. When he started the whole thing, he messed up, and it just took the world into death and destruction, and that's what's wrong with the world. But one day, all that will be changed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Now, what this means when you think about this verse, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, is that although we're here and the devil is here too, and although there is a darkness that is in the earth, and there's a spirit of wickedness that rules, and by nature, he ruled in your heart, my heart, before I got saved. But now he doesn't rule my heart now. I'm still in the world. I'm not in heaven yet, so there's still a lot of bad stuff going on. But I now have power now through prayer to change some things. I get sucker punched. I know bad things can happen. Crisis can take place, but I survive. I can get through it. I can thrive. I can overcome. Are you with me? Are you out there? Sometimes things just happen because of the world we live in. Don't blame yourself or kick yourself in the head about it. Sometimes it may be your fault. Well, make some corrections. Sometimes just the world we live in. Well, stand in faith and get through it. Amen? Just get back up on your feet again. You are now been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're not under the laws of that old kingdom anymore. You can pray and you can turn things around. You know, we used to be under the laws of King George. We paid our taxes to King George. We submitted to his, we had to obey the laws of the land of England. You know, when Great Britain said we had to give our guns away, we would have had to give our guns away. When they increased taxes, we would have had to pay taxes. But we fought, and we got our independence from them, so we no longer pay taxes to King George. We no longer obey those laws, because we're under other laws now, the laws of the United States of America. Are you with me? We have a constitution, you know, in this country, and we have laws in this country we obey. Well, you and I need to be under the law of God, not the law of the Old Testament, not Moses, not the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I may be here in this country, but in one sense, I'm almost in a foreign country because this is a fallen world. It hasn't been redeemed yet, and I'm kind of in a war zone to some degree. I have an enemy that's after me. The adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I don't need to be concerned about him because I have power over him. I'm light in a dark world. That's what the Bible says we are. We're lights in a dark world. We need to shine our lights in the darkness. This world hasn't been redeemed. It's not perfect. It's pretty messed up in a lot of ways. There's some good things that we can thank God for that's still hanging around. But everything that happens in life is not God. We often get the idea that just because it happened, God did it. Well, God doesn't do bad things. God does good things. So when bad things happen, that's not God. When you sin and you rebel against God, that's not God. That's you. So there's some players here. There's you, there's God, and there's the devil. And you have to identify which is which. But we've been set free from the devil, so we don't have to serve him. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be mad all the time. I don't have to be depressed. Are you with me? I don't have to live like that. I don't have to give up. Are you with me? I do not have to give up. Who told me I had to give up? God didn't tell me I had to give up. God told me I had to stand up. God told me if I stand, I'll win. Having done all, stand. He didn't say having done all, lay down, give up, throw the towel in. No, in fact, he says a righteous man falls seven times and he rises again. I like that. Isn't that good? And I'm free to rise again now. You are free to win. I'm here to tell you and declare to you, you are free to go over in life. You are free to succeed. You don't have to, but you can. If you find out what God says, you can do it. Amen? So, we've been delivered. We're talking about our independence. My goodness, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm free to go further and longer. No, actually, I'm not. I need to wrap this up pretty quick. Hey, let me give you a couple more verses here. Let me read this again. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Everybody say, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I have been delivered,
from
the power of darkness.
All right?
Then he says, I've been transferred or translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There is a kingdom that you're a part of, and it's the kingdom of God. There are rules that you're under, and there are the rules from heaven. They're in the Bible. Need to find out what they are and submit to them. Amen? And quit submitting to the law of sin and death. Quit submitting to the anger. Quit submitting to the depression. Are you out there?
Yeah.
Quit submitting to defeat. Quit giving. No, you've been redeemed from that. You know, God always takes out of something, puts us into something better, doesn't he? You know, he took them out of Egypt and he took them into the land of Canaan. And they really, never really experienced what God had for them until they got into the promises land. I think sometimes we think we're just free. Okay, I'm free. Okay, free from what? Well, I'm free from the world. But we don't think about being placed into a kingdom. We've been delivered from one, a bad one, but we've been placed in a good one. You need to be reaping the benefits of this. You need to be praying and seeking out God and finding out what God does have available. You need to understand that when things go wrong, you can pray and ask God and he'll help you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're not alone. You're not just neutral. It's not. You're not just free from something. You didn't just come out of something. You've been placed into something. God's kingdom, and it's a good kingdom. Hallelujah. There's peace and there's joy and there's all for the asking, all for the taking. If you're willing to pray and you're willing to come to Jesus and make some adjustments in your life, hallelujah. Woo! Good stuff. Amen? Okay. One more verse. Yeah. Actually, it's a passage of verses. But turn to John 8. This is so good. John 8 talks about Jesus. And if you go through the whole chapter, he talks about how he came to do what he saw the Father do. And he said, I only do the things I see my Father do. I only say the things I heard my Father say. And that's very significant because if you notice Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he never killed anybody. He never took anybody's money away. He never started any storms. He stopped some. And he raised people from the dead, and he gave to the poor, and he healed the sick, and he never made anybody sick. I'm just talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can go read it for yourself. So what we see there is that if Jesus came and did everything he saw the Father do, and he spoke everything he heard the Father say, then evidently he never saw God make anybody sick. Because he never made anybody sick. And just if you didn't know that much, the first person he healed a person. He only healed him because he saw God do that. And when the storm came along, you know, he got up and said, peace be still. And then he rebuked his disciples for not taking care of it themselves.
Yeah.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if God started the storms, then what's Jesus doing stopping it? And if God made the man sick, what's he doing healing the man?
Yeah.
And if God killed the guy, why did he raise him from the dead? See, it doesn't even make any sense when you think about it. And Jesus, in this whole chapter, he says, and if you'll read through there, he said, I just do what I see my Father do. He said, I just say what I hear my Father say. Jesus was the express image of God's person. He's the most perfect copy picture of God we have ever seen or ever will see in the earth today. Are you with me? And so he came around and there was something wrong with the world and he was fixing it. He was making things right. Oh, crippled, that's wrong. Healed. Oh, blind, that's wrong. Here, eyes supposed to see. Oh, storm, stop that. He was fixing things. He was correcting things because things are out of whack and out of kilter. And if you don't know something's wrong with the world, you don't get out much. There's something wrong with the world. There's something wrong with growing old. Man, you got to be tough to get old. Let me tell you. There's something wrong there. That's not right, okay? And we get to heaven, we won't grow old. Are you out there? Okay, stay with me. But Jesus was just doing what he saw the Father do, just saying what he heard the Father say. And then he mentions all that. He's preaching all that. And then he goes on down. He says this in the 8th chapter, 31st verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Oh, hallelujah. You want to talk about freedom? Our freedom's in Christ. That's where it is. Our freedom's in knowing the truth about the matter. And the truth is what God says. It's not what you think or I think. It's not what the world says. It's not what all the philosophers of history have said. The truth is what God says. The truth is God and his word. And if you know the truth, if you continue in the truth will make you free. Free from a lot of stuff you're still in bondage to. You know, I'm still in bondage to. Still fighting, struggling with stuff. I'm free from. What are you even struggling for? You're free from it. Hello. And yet, I have to get in the Word and find out what those things are because through my ignorance, not stupidity, through my ignorance, maybe I don't know, maybe I haven't read it, maybe I didn't know it and I hadn't heard it, I'm still serving something I've been made free from.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have to do that? No. What I'm saying is there's steak on a table, and you're sitting out there with a sack of cheese and crackers. Oh, come on now. Yeah, I'm going for the steak. I'm going to find it where it is first. I'm going to give me some of it. But I get in the Word, and that's what will happen. He says, if you continue my Word, see, that's a lifetime. That's a lifestyle. I'm going to continue in God's Word. I'm going to take a little time, read God's Word every day, and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to continue in His Word, and I'm going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make me free. Hallelujah. And he goes on and says in the 36th verse, in closing, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, I love that. Jesus has set us free from a lot of stuff. And a lot of us are hanging on to stuff we've been set free from. We don't have to. We can be free. But we're going to have to get in the Word and find out what those things are. You know, serve God. Pray. Seek God's face. When a situation comes up, ask yourself, what does the Bible say about that? A lot of times you'll find out you're submitting to things you should be overcoming. You've been made free from. Amen. You don't have to put up with it. Take a while. You have to retrain yourself, renew your mind, but you can overcome.